social things going on that also revolve around drinking.
That's where that can't happen in the same way in the United States. And here, but to less of an extent because the drinking age is 19, but I feel like there's less of an emphasis on it here. I don't get, like, we used to have a bar on campus, but it closed.
Yeah, because that's crazy to me. If there was a pub on campus in a UK campus, there is no way it's closing.
I know, because I heard absolutely it went bankrupt, but I don't know what that means. I don't know.
Yeah.
How do you go bankrupt when, like, the majority of your population is of legal age?
Yeah.
I don't know. But maybe that's not true.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah, because the drinking age is not legal. So all of your drinking has to happen at parties. It can't happen at pubs or at nightclubs because it's not legal.
Yeah.
Back home, that is in the United States. And also, just, these are all, so I feel like they're not the universal experiences too. It's just these are prescribed. It's kind of what's fed to you of like, oh, this is what you want. Yeah. This is what.
That is interesting because I think it is very much kind of shoved down your throat. Says this is what university is like. You're gonna love it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, I started to notice this when, like, I have a brother that's 2 years older than me that went to university, like, kind of during COVID, kind of post-COVID in that, like, kind of weird gray area.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, I went to university 2 years after he did. Yeah. And hearing, like, our friends who have siblings similar ages, and it's, you're fed at age 17 to 18 when you're applying, like, this is the next step you have to take. Like, yeah. University is the next step, pretty much. There are other routes, but the schools don't really encourage the other routes. And then there's like, it's always like, you're going to love university. University is where you find yourself. It's where you find your friends for life. It's the best experience ever. Mm-hmm. And I noticed how much that pressure affects so many people.
Yeah. I feel like those first weeks, it's super stressful because I didn't know anybody. I have met a handful of people who are from Seattle, and we had gone to school. I know of the schools they went to, but we didn't interact or anything. But yeah, it's super stress-inducing, and I feel like I've talked to a lot of people who are like, have gone to college or a university, and I felt this to an extent, too, of you're like, but that's not what I'm feeling, and then am I doing something wrong? Is it on me?
Yeah.
But it's also not always set up to be like it depends on where you go. There's a lot of other things happening here that are really cool, but my university experience is going to look different than somebody else's. And I think I've done lots of work to try and accept that.
Yeah. Which makes me think then there is no universal.
Oh, I don't think there's a universal experience. It's fed to us.
Yeah.
That there is. Yeah. Or the dream, you know? It's like the American dream, you know?
Oh, the American dream.
it's these ideas that are conveyed as something that you should be aiming for because it'll help you in some way, but along the way is helping a lot of other people gain money and resources from you, of course.
And then as well, like, you then just, a lot of people end up feeling like failures when they don't have that experience. Because it's like, well, what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
Where did it go wrong? Was it like...
Yeah, it's hard. But there's also a lot to look into that on is... Yeah, I feel like... Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the same.
Yeah, you're just fed an unrealistic dream.
But... To an extent, it's also all of the experiences that you have are cool, and I feel like
the crucial part
that was missing from what was fed is the classes, because I feel like that has been something that I have been super, very pleasantly surprised is because that wasn't what I was thinking about coming in necessarily. I was thinking about that experience because that's what's shown to us and everything. I love my classes. My professors are so intelligent, and I've learned so much just, I feel like, from breathing the same air as them. And I think that is a really cool thing that should be emphasized more, of being able to find that thing that brings you a lot of joy to learn about. But I think this is also, I really love learning, and I do really love school. I'm, because I think it's fun to learn from other people. But not everybody loves that. And it's also not set up for everybody, too.
Yeah.
To succeed.
Because I find it interesting how much you talk, because we've had in many conversations now about, like, one common thing is like how much you love like what you're talking about in class and how much the class actually brings you joy. Whereas I find for me at university, the subject brings me more joy than me actually sitting in the lectures, because I don't really have a rapport with any of my professors. They very much just read off of a PowerPoint. And I think, well, I'm literally listening to what is just being what I can read in front of me. I'm not gaining much, and I get more enjoyment in the independent side, where I'm like reading around topics that have interested me. The kind of only role that my lecturers play is that they kind of present the topic to me. they kind of just present the topics to me, and then I will be interested and find it about, like, read around it and do my essay on it, more than them actually kind of, I don't know, talking about it or like picking their brains on it. And I've been thinking about that actually a lot, like, the past week.
See, that's super different. So Simon Fraser's a research university, and that's a difference that I didn't know about going into my college searches and everything. So if you're applying to college, look up the difference between like a research university and a non-research university. I don't know what the other one's called. Because our professor's main job is to do research. They are developing research for the university to keep the university's name high and hold us at like a high standard so that we're ranking well. Their side job is teaching us. There's other schools, and that's when you get kind of into the liberal arts stuff, the smaller universities, or some of like the lower, it tends to go, the research universities tend to be ranked higher because they're putting out all of that material that is then being used, like John Hopkins, like a lot of the California schools, Harvard, those things. Those are like, they're researching, I think. Don't quote me on all of those. I don't know if they're actually all, but that, I know that they, John Hopkins,
Don't quote Kaylin on any of it.
But that's just a difference, right? What that brings back then in the classroom is my ethnography class, for example. I was watching my lecture for it today. He was referencing his field work, his ethnographic field work that he was doing a couple years ago. And I just think that's really cool. It has affected a lot in the syllabi that I'm getting of what I'm reading is based on very heavily on what my professors find important and what I have noticed in Canada in comparison to my understanding of sociological programs that I have had friends who have done it in the States. Simon Fraser, at least, and I have, like, I mean, UBC, too, because we read their stuff, too. There's a lot more focus on the Indigenous perspectives and including that literature in the classes. There is obviously much more work to be done. But that is something that I have, like, very point-blank noticed that is different here than an education that I would be getting as a more of a universal understanding of this should be involved in the conversation. And that is, there's, in sociology, there's different perspectives that you can look at things. There's like feminist lens, I forget the other ones, but there's...
Like, you got, like your Marxist lens, your
Marxist
functionalist.
Lens, functionalist.
Postmodernist.
All of them, yes.
Yeah.
No, my mind is totally blanking. But there's also the Indigenous perspectives, and just as another lens to look at systems of power and social interactions through those lenses. And that lens is just not taught. I was talking to my friend who was taking her sociology classes, and the intro to sociology class, that one that I was like, this is what made me want to do sociology. it wasn't covered. And so that's what I really appreciate about my professors, is I feel like SFU has done a really good job of, I just love the social sciences department at SFU. I will praise forever.
Yeah, because
everybody's just so interesting and knows so much.
Yeah, because I at least speak for the majority of my lecturers. I don't know if it's the same across all the subjects. I'm assuming it is, but they're all conducting their own research and writing papers and things. And some of them will include it in their lectures and some will just never touch upon it. You don't know what they're doing. And they like include it when they're like, it's the first time you have them and it's like the introduction. They're like, so this is who I am. This is my field. This is what I'm researching. Okay, this is my module. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, cool. Yeah. And then they don't touch upon their research again. Whereas it seems like for you, they kind of heavily draw from their research and what they're doing, which I guess kind of makes it translate the translates the passion a bit more into the lecture room, which I feel like lacks quite a bit for me personally. I don't feel like a lot of the time my lecturers are necessarily passionate about what they're talking. It might be it's kind of a roundabout in the same area, but they had to teach a class or they had to cover a class for somebody and it's not really the field they want to be talking about.
I have yet to run into a professor at SFU who is not passionate about what they're talking about in my, what I've learned in my classes. There might be some out there, but I just really have a lot of respect for that.
Well, we've been talking for like 40 minutes, so I think like we should take a quick song break, and then when we come back, we can talk a bit about the systems of power in universities.
Works
and
for me.
Stuff like that. Maybe get a bit more, I don't know, sociological into things.
For sure.
But yeah, this song, I'm gonna shout a little person out. This song is called Atlas and it's by a Toronto band called Good Kid. That was suggested to me by a person back home and I think he's listening, so
thanks.
I know
for
he,
waking up
thanks for waking up at 3 a.m. to listen. But he suggested this song, well, the artist, and like I've said before on open mics, I've been obsessed with listening to them. So yeah, this is the song Atlas, and it was released like 8 years ago. So enjoy this like throwback retro. Yeah, and we'll catch you when it's over.
Baby, if you don't stand for something, how can you ever stand it all? Built on sand, you'll be swept back by the foam. Baby, if you don't stand for something, how can you ever hope to hold the weight of everything you own? Maybe if you build your house on sand, you can burrow the deeper. Maybe it would cave on you alone. So I did, I tried, I swear I did. Thousand times to let it lie, thousand times to let it lie. Everything you hold. Maybe if you show them all your hand, you can knot in the creases. Maybe you can take it back and fold. You said it was all in the ether. Ain't something you say you could feed her. She said she was nothing but eager. Then you said, she said that you couldn't believe her. Ain't something you say you could feed her. She said it was all just a leader. Then you said, you said, you said, you said, you said, you said, you swear I did. I tried, I swear I did. Thousand times to let it lie, thousand times to let it lie. Swear I did, I tried, I swear I did. Thousand times to let it lie, thousand times to let it lie.
Renaissance Coffee is open at SFU. Parminder and his team have been serving the SFU community with great coffee for more than 20 years. If you're looking for a wholesome meal, delectable desserts, or something to warm yourself and lift your spirits, Renaissance Cafe is the place to be.
featuring fair trade espresso beverages and brewed coffee. Renaissance Coffee is open Monday to Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Well, how do you get up and go?
Welcome back to Sociologic on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We have just been chatting a bit about ourselves, introducing the show, and kind of delving into what is the university experience, how have we had different experiences, and
what are we fed as the ideal experience, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and for the last little bit, moving on to a question you had kind of posed a bit on talking about, like, systems of power and their visibility in universities, and are things purposely hidden from us and things like that. I don't know too much about my own thoughts on this as of right now. If you want to, like, yeah, I feel like you're on the edge of your seat. Like, I have got so many thoughts.
Let me put some seeds in your brain. So this was really cool. We talked about this in my first term in my intro classes with intro to anthropology and intro to sociology. In terms of, so a little bit about what I'm trying to talk about here is systems of power are visible. And what I like about sociology is it helps you put on those glasses to be able to see them. Right?
Yeah.
So, for example, something we talked about was the sub.
Mm-hmm.
The sub is the building we're in right now, and there's 5 stories, and there's different buildings, or different clubs and student, or the sub stands for student union building. I forgot to say that part. But there's different groups that have different rooms, and you can look at it and be like, face value, some of the management's on the top floor.
Mm.
What's on the third floor? We've got
Blends Coffee.
A lot of the STEM.
There's the stage area, isn't there, on the third floor? And like
SFSS, which is the Simon Fraser Student Society, and also some of the, it's, there's 2 different rooms, and they're both for more of the hard science. I can't remember what they're called. But then, basically, the point is where this gets to is that you go down farther into the darker and the deeper, and you're hitting the women's center, the out on campus, the queer space. And then even lower is some of the indigenous rooms. And what's next door? What do we have next door?
Oh, SOCA.
Yeah.
The Caribbean African Society. I can't remember the full name stands for.
Yeah. But basically, you look at that and you're like, oh, who's on top? Who's being pushed lower?
Interesting.
Like, that is just... You can look at that and see that. Or who gets classrooms where? What classrooms? What is prioritized? Or a different way to look at it is that we looked at in a different class is how... At Simon Fraser, if you haven't been here, look at it on a map. It's all connected. Other schools, how we talked about this in that class was how, because all of the buildings are connected, part of it is because it gets cold here. And you can walk from one end of campus to another without going outside at all, or at least without going under a cover.
Yeah.
Or out from under a cover, you can stay dry the whole time, which is really convenient.
Yeah.
Because it rains so much in Vancouver. but I love the rain. So that's part of it. But also, as a result, everything's connected, and therefore the disciplines can be more integrated, is just a way that can exist too. Kind of what I was thinking about when I was posing this idea as a show is just looking a little bit about our take on academics is that there's that idea of the infant brain that has so much, like, you don't know anything, and the teachers are just planting knowledge.
Your brain's a sponge.
A sponge, yes, that's what it is. But why is that? Why do we learn like that? Does that work for people? Because we've seen this type of learning doesn't work for everybody. I do not like sitting in a chair as long as I have to for class. I get distracted. I will sometimes fall asleep. Not on purpose. I have had a lot of concussions, and it makes me fall asleep sometimes. I'll just, like, get distracted, and I just can't sit for that long and pay attention like that. I need to be outside. That's how I do it. But that's kind of something still just looking at how the power exists and how that shows inequality. And part of what I was talking about is how some of these systems are visible. Like, you can go around in the sub, and there is a... There's the different things in front of the elevator, and it's like, this door, we have this. Yeah. And it's literally in an order. And you could be like, wow, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas some things are more invisible in some of the bureaucratic, how things work behind the scenes. And just, why does your department teach what it teaches? How do your profs go about that? Are everything, it's all integrated. There's all power in all of it. And it's just, I think, important as a university student to kind of think about why, take the knowledge that you have, but also why are you receiving that knowledge? What are you gaining from that? Why is that what you're learning versus other things? Whose perspectives are you being taught? That's a big thing, too, with, I feel like it's very easy, specifically in, like, English, right? Mm. They're like, let's read the classics, and it's all these European white men, and that's not going to give you a full understanding of all of the literature of the whole world. It's going to give you their perspective. That's kind of what I was working with when I was thinking of this.
It's interesting. I've not thought about it that way in terms of, like, I've been in the sub 3 to 4 days a week, every single week since the start of August, and I have not thought about the structure of the sub building in that way until you've said it. And it's interesting when it's like you clock kind of like,
yeah,
it's very easy to miss it
because it's not necessarily saying that the people who describe this hate or that they have
an agenda,
a bias, or anything. It just, but it, you can't say that it doesn't show where value is placed.
Yeah. And I think as well, you talking about, like, questioning why you're learning what you're learning, why you're receiving that knowledge. And I think to the way that my degree is structured, my first year, I had no optional modules. Everything was, everything, I didn't get to pick anything.
Yeah.
It was all, like, set in stone, like, this is what you learned. In second year, I got a bit more freedom, not a lot. And in third year, I'm going to get a lot more freedom of picking and choosing. And
but why is that what's prescribed?
Exactly.
What made it so that those classes are more important? And yes, it makes sense. They want you to know quantitative and qualitative methods.
Yes, sure. Some of them are like your fundamentals because you didn't have to take sociology before to get into the degree. But it's interesting as well when I look at the breadth of what modules are taught in what is sociology and criminology, but like the sociology is in there. And there is one module, I think, called Race and Racism.
Uh-huh.
And that is, like, the only module that's offered in the 3-4 years you're doing your degree on solely, like, ethnicity. And that's it. And that I think, is quite interesting. I also think it's interesting it's taught by a white person as well. Yeah. It's quite interesting that you're getting the knowledge from someone that is of the what has been considered the, like, superior race for so long.
Yeah. I mean, in a very problematic
way. Yeah, yeah, in a very problematic way, yeah, obviously, yes. Yeah.
I guess, yeah, also from somebody who hasn't necessarily felt the way that the structures of oppression can work not in their favor.
And it's, I think, like, my course has started to introduce more gender modules, like, modules focusing on gender. But also over here, I believe at SFU, there is a whole degree area in gender studies,
which
and we don't have that in the UK. Like, that would be part of sociology.
Yeah,
like, it'd be just
it's
a subsection.
Super interesting too, because that is, I feel like my understanding is it's taking the feminist lens and working really hard and delving most exclusively through that. I guess that was my big thing with this, is just looking at the power structures because they are at play. I feel like my professors have been really cool. I have had a number of them. A way that my professors have been fighting back, per se, is, or trying to work against these power things, is a lot of my professors have offered and described the process of becoming a master's student and how to pursue that higher education, because for a long time, and even for them in their experiences, they were have all conveyed the idea that it was very difficult and the information was not super clear about how to reach that upper level of education. And education is already something that is kind of... oh my gosh. I'm forgetting English. it's hard to... It's seen as this way, at least in the capitalistic society that I was raised in. It's a way to get a leg up to be able to get hired, and therefore is putting a distance between people who have education and people who don't. Mm-hmm. Elitism. That's the word I was looking for. And it becomes even more closed off when that information is not available. So again, this is another thing, is what information is made available to you? How easy is it to find? That's another system of power. Because all of these are, a way that I think of it is there's a lot of decisions that have to be made for things to exist the way that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so who made those decisions and why did they make them? Who is it benefiting? It's all of that.
Yeah. The big question in sociology, why?
Why?
Everything is why?
And to what extent?
Yeah. Why and to what extent do we agree with the why or disagree with the why? Yeah, no. It's an interesting question to ponder because I haven't thought too much, I would guess, into the visibility of the power structures at play at uni. I mean, I was I definitely think, I would say I would pretty much know, there's power structures at play.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't thought so much about how much effort has gone into potentially hiding them, how much effort has gone into making them visible, and different things like that. It's definitely a thing for any university students listening out there to think about.
I don't know, if there's things that are unjust, how do we go about fixing those things? Another one, where there's a lot of rules and laws and such around wheelchair access, but even still, there's places that are accessible and that are not.
Mm.
And so then who's involved in the conversations, that's a big thing with, we were referencing how the indigenous perspectives are being included to an extent, but also who's in the conversation.
Yeah.
And who's not in the conversation and why are they there?
And why are they not in the conversation?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, as we're closing up on the very first episode on Sociologic's birthday.
Yes, it's our birthday.
The radio show's birthday. What have we got? What have we got kind of lined up?
Oh, gosh.
Unfortunately, I am heading back home for about a month.
Unfortunately, you're very excited.
No, I'm very excited to go home. I say unfortunately, I'm so excited. But we will have episodes pre-recorded that will be coming out. So don't worry, there'll still be something playing from Sociologic at 7 p.m. You're also thinking of doing a couple of them live anyway.
Yes.
But we're bringing
some people in to talk about some things.
We've got some ideas floating around that we are going to introduce in the last minute.
Touching on some theory. We were looking into socialization.
Yeah.
That word is hard for me to say.
Socialization.
Socialization. There we go. Yeah. The sociological imagination, as well as just continuing to explore more topics that we run into in our day-to-day lives, like the workplace, jobs, those types of things.
Yeah, yeah. And one big one, national identity is what we were talking
identity,
about.
Yep.
That's
we've
a
just
big
got
one.
Ideas.
Yeah.
And if anybody else has ideas, feel free to let us know.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do that. But
I live in the station for the next 3 days.
Come tell Rebecca.
Yeah, but we definitely have some very cool things coming up. And this idea that we'll do episodes on theory deep diving and explaining kind of different theories. So it's not you have to have a sociological knowledge to understand kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And it's different ways of thinking about things. So, yeah, I mean,
we're
running on the clock now, but thank you so much for tuning in. I hope everyone's had. Yeah, I hope you all have loved the first episode and are having a lovely evening or very, very early morning.
Yes. Thanks, man.
Yeah. So we'll see you all next week and stay tuned for BitCouver.